up on the screen here in a second. But the title, not just for the message tonight, but for the whole entire series, is Practical Wisdom for Everyday Living. Because the book of Proverbs, as we'll find as we go through it and as we work through it together as a church, the book of Proverbs is very, very practical in a whole lot of ways. Actually, it's so practical, you can hardly actually work through the book of Proverbs verse by verse by verse by verse. Because I'm sure if you've read through the book of Proverbs, you notice it almost jumps from subject to subject to subject to subject to subject, and it's really hard to really almost have a single train of thought through any one chapter in Proverbs. It's a very good book, and tonight we're going to just be in Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at the very first six verses there, and here we're going to see the purpose of Proverbs. Because the book opens up, and we'll read verses 1 through 6 at this time. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Let's go ahead and pray before we start, and then we'll dive into this passage this evening. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your wisdom. Lord, I pray that what I've prepared and, Lord, what you have for us from your word, what you are saying in this text would be clear. I pray that we would understand what the purpose of this book is. And Lord, as we jump into it for the next several weeks, that we would have a heart that wants to learn, that wants to grow. And Lord, we pray that this purpose of the book would be fulfilled in our own lives. Lord, that we would learn your wisdom, God, that we would grow in listening to it, and that we would grow in just having a skillful life that we live and applying your truth to everyday lives and Lord, everything that we face. Please be with us now in this time. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right, great. There we go. So, you can see there, practical wisdom for everyday living. Patrick, I don't know if I'm going to be able to... Okay, awesome. You're quite all right. So, practical wisdom for everyday living. I wanted to take a little bit of time to explain why I chose this title. It wasn't just, we're going to be in Proverbs, let's see. Okay, it has something to do with wisdom, it's also practical. Well, I'll just throw this out there. I did initially, when I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what, that may be a good title. But then I also went and I did some research to make sure that this is what people think about when they come to the book of Proverbs. Because so often in the Bible, we get these general principles, right? Where you think about, you read the story of Joseph, and there's nothing necessarily where God says, do this, don't do that. We're supposed to learn lessons from the story of Joseph. Or you come to the New Testament, and Christ, he says a lot of things directly, but a lot of the times it's more general, you know, where he says, love other people. Okay, what does that specifically look like? And the Proverbs, the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, that's fun to say 10 times fast, the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, they are very practical. There are going to be some overarching principles, and in Proverbs as a book of wisdom, it's going to require us to do some thinking in order to apply, but very often it's going to be immensely practical. And we'll see that as we get in. And one author put, the purpose of the book of Proverbs appears to be giving teaching about practical life. Just saying, the purpose is just to give us teaching about how do I go about my daily life? How do I live day to day? He later went on and said, the book of Proverbs instructs us in detail. It has that detailed aspect of it. The book of Proverbs instructs us in detail how we should walk, so that we are worthy of our calling. And there he kind of brings in a New Testament passage. It says, we look into the book of Proverbs as if we are using a microscope and view all the minute details of our Christian walk. And that's important for us to have. To not where it's just, okay, here's a broad principle, now let me apply it. The Proverbs are going to be very specific a lot of times. And it's almost as if we're looking in with a microscope to see, okay, how do I live this out detailed in my Christian life? Another commentator said, "The teachings in this book guide its readers into how to lead wise and godly lives and how to avoid the pitfalls of unwise and ungodly conduct." And that's what we all want. We want to know, Lord, how can I live a life that is pleasing to your name? And it's wonderful. The book of Proverbs is very specific oftentimes with that. And then it also, as we'll see here in a second, it also will help us when it's not specific. And when the Bible isn't specific, the book of Proverbs will give us wisdom to know, okay, how do I apply this in this specific situation? Or, God, I don't know what to do here. Well, as we read the book of Proverbs and we immerse ourselves in there, God says that He is going to give us the wisdom that we need for life. All right, so getting into the actual text tonight, you notice in verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And so we're going to take a little bit and just talk about the authorship of the book of Proverbs. And if you flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, not too far back from the book of Proverbs, but 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and again, a familiar passage for us, but I hope it's going to remind us of some things of Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and you look at chapter 1 in verse 1, it says, "And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly." So we see, first of all, that God was with Solomon in his reign. And then you look down to verse 7, and this is after Solomon has done some different things for the temple and everything like that. And we're all familiar with this story. We often think of it as a children's story almost, but it's good for us to be reminded of. It says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask, what shall I give thee?" You know, as a kid, I always used to be like, man, what would I say if somebody said, you have three wishes and you can have anything in the world? And I'd be like, man, I don't know. And then I remember learning this story in the Bible, and it was good for me as a young child to learn, oh, Solomon actually had that option. And what did he ask for? Well, it says in verse number 8, "And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And then God responds in verse 11. God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither hast thou yet asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee." And then he goes on to talk about and says, "I'm also going to give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." And we could go and walk through the story of Solomon's life, and we don't have the time. Unfortunately, it's a sad story because God gave him this great wisdom, some of the wisdom that we're going to learn about. And this is wisdom from God. So just because Solomon failed in his later years, that does not mean we just throw out the entire book of Proverbs. God has it in the Bible for a specific purpose. And we don't know exactly when the book of Proverbs was written in Solomon's life. I think personally this is a collection, and we'll see that as we look a little more deeply. This is a collection of sayings of Solomon. It probably wasn't like Solomon sat down one day and said, I'm going to write the book of Proverbs. That's not how it happened. And so we don't know the exact point in Solomon's life when a lot of this was being said. But that's okay, because God still has it included in the Bible for us to learn wisdom. And it's important for us to recognize this wisdom is directly from God. Solomon said, Lord, I need your wisdom. And God said, okay, I'm going to give that to you, and I'm going to make you the wisest man that ever lived. And that's not specifically in this passage, but you read about that. And the Queen of Sheba and other people are coming, not just to see Solomon's wealth, but primarily to see, man, how wise is this man? He's the wisest man that was ever upon the earth. And so that's the person that we get to tap into. That's the person we get to learn from. And ultimately, we're tapping into God and His wisdom. Here's. So if you turn back to Proverbs, we see in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. But it's interesting, we come across some other names in the book of Proverbs as well, apart from just Solomon. In Proverbs chapter 22, And verse 17, if you flip there really quickly, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise." And we could say, well, maybe that's talking about Solomon, and it very well could be. But what's interesting there is that word wise is plural, and it's masculine. So you could say, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise men. And no, children, not the wise men that came to see Jesus. They were much later on. But this could be talking about a different collection of men that we don't know. It could be the wise kings in Israel. Personally, I think this very well could still be talking about Solomon. This could be Solomon saying to his son, hey, hear the wisdom that I've gained from other wise men. But it's important to at least note that that is in there. And also 24 verse 23, as you can see on the sign, it says practically the same thing. It says, these also belong to the wise, or these are sayings of wise men. And then you turn to chapter 30. Chapter 30 and verse 1. And we're given another name here. Chapter 30 and verse 1, it says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal." And there is very, very little, if anything at all, about any man named Agar in the Bible. And so some people, because they really, really, really want every single proverb in the book of Proverbs to be attributed to Solomon, some people will say that's just another name for Solomon. But most of the places you will look will say this is probably another wise man who we know very little about, yet God included it in the book of Proverbs. And people have said what David is to the Psalms, you know, we think about the book of Psalms, and we think about David being the author of the vast majority of the Psalms. You know, you could say most of the Psalms were written by David. Most people think that's kind of how Solomon relates to the book of Proverbs. Not every single word we're going to read is always going to be attributed to Solomon. Here in chapter 30, it says this is the words of Agur. And that's good to recognize, just to know there were many different authors kind of being compiled here. And then you come to chapter 31, and it says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And if we thought we had only a little bit of information on Agur, there's even less information on the words on King Lemuel. And so we're not exactly entirely sure who these people are. Some people have even said the fact that we don't read about these people in the history of Israel, these could be actually kings from outside of Israel who were still operating under the Lord's reign. And it's hard to say for sure. We just don't know that much about these people, but yet it's in the Bible. And so don't get so caught up on, okay, is every single proverb written by Solomon or not? That's okay. God has it in the Bible for a reason. It's just important for us to see as we enter into this book that there are other contributors as well to the book of Proverbs. And I believe, before you go all the way back to chapter 1, if you look, I believe it's chapter 25 in verse 1. Because you ask, okay, how did all of these proverbs come together? And in Proverbs chapter 25, again, it's saying, okay, these now are proverbs of Solomon again. These are also proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. And so you ask, okay, when was the book of Proverbs put together? Well, we don't know for sure, but it was at least added to when Hezekiah was on the throne, many years later from Solomon. And so probably what happened is Solomon was writing different things down, or maybe it was being passed mouth to mouth to mouth. And the men of Hezekiah were finally like, and under the inspiration of God, but they finally said, you know what, we need to compile all of these sayings of wise people such as Solomon, maybe some others as well. We need to compile all of these into a book so that we can have them and have readily access to them. And so the actual date of the final book of Proverbs, if it was finished in the time of Hezekiah, it's probably around 700 BC. And so these were sayings that probably were repeated around quite a lot in the nation of Israel. People knew about them even before they were completely written down. But that's kind of the background of the authorship and even the compilation of the book of Proverbs. It's not just Solomon, there's some other contributors to it as well. But let's get in to verses 2 through 6. And in verses 2 through 6, you'll notice that every single verse, except verse 5, starts with what word? I'll let you turn there for a second. But what word is it that starts verse 2 all the way down through verse 6, except for the word verse 5? What's that little word? Two. And this isn't saying this is written to somebody, but it's saying, okay, here are the Proverbs of Solomon, here are these Proverbs, and these are written to do something. These are written, you could say, for the purpose of all of these things. And so we're going to talk tonight, okay, what is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? And that's going to be our focus for tonight. What is it that this book will do in our lives if we will give it attention, if we will listen to it? And in verse 2 there, it starts off just by saying, okay, so here are the Proverbs of Solomon. What is their purpose? Their purpose is to know wisdom and instruction. We're going to work through this. It's going to be almost painstakingly slow, and I'm sorry for that. We'll move much quicker as we get into the rest of the book. But this is important to recognize what Solomon and these other people are saying. Okay, this is the purpose of this book. This is why God has given us this book. So first of all, and this is going to be a wordy first point, and I apologize for that, but I didn't want to shorten it, because wisdom is the main theme of the entire book. So what does it mean to know wisdom? And I phrased it that this book will give us an intimate knowledge of how to skillfully make the right choices at the right time. Because that word know there are some different words that we could use, and that in the Hebrew language that people could use for know. Like, I know something. And there's another word that could have been used that simply means I recognize. You know, I recognized when I walked in that there was no snow on the ground. I didn't think through that very much, but, you know, I know that there's no snow out there. I know there's no snow on the ground. But you think about a weatherman, they're going to know why there's no snow on the ground. They're going to know why it's this temperature outside. If we're really lucky, they may even know what tomorrow's going to look like. If we're really lucky, I'm finding out being here. But it's supposed to be really nice tomorrow. But me saying, I know that there's no snow on the ground is much different than a weatherman saying, I know what's going on in the weather. I have no idea. I can recognize a little thing. It was a clear day today. It was nice and warm. But a weatherman is going to have a much more intimate knowledge of all of that. It was interesting. Pastor and I were down at the conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And there were a lot of men that I knew of. It's like, oh, I've heard your name before. Or maybe you know my dad. Or maybe you know Pastor Byford. I've heard a lot about you. But for most of those men, I had to go up and introduce myself because I don't know them personally. It's like, yes, I know of Pastor Shaw. Or, yes, I've met Dr. Minnick before. I've met Pastor Minnick before. I've met Pastor Phelps before. But I'd walk up to those men and I'd still introduce myself because they don't know me very well. But that's not the word that's being used here. It's not just a knowledge of something. The word here, to know wisdom, this word has the idea of an intimate knowledge of someone. It's actually used of the husband and wife a lot in the Old Testament. When it talks about Adam knew his wife, or Abraham knew Sarah. That's the same word here. This is an intimate knowledge of something. You're closely related to. You know this in and out. And so why was this book written? Well, it was written so that we could have this intimate knowledge of wisdom. Not just to casually recognize it, not just to casually know something, but to have this close insight into it all. Okay, well, what does this word wisdom mean? And honestly, to define wisdom is an intimidating task, because there are a lot of things included under wisdom. And really, that's the purpose of the study of Proverbs, to know wisdom. And so as we work through it all, we're going to get a much more inclusive definition of wisdom. But I wanted to turn to Exodus chapter 28 and show you the very first time that this word for wisdom is used in our Bibles. In Exodus chapter 28, and maybe if you're reading through the Bible this year, it hasn't been too long ago since you read this. This is in the context of of God talking to Moses, saying, I want you to build this tabernacle. Here's how you need to make it. And then in Exodus chapter 28, and he says in verse 2, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And just a side note, you read this passage, and the glory and beauty with which the Israelites were supposed to be worshiping God and the holiness, that's very apparent. God says, I want these garments for Aaron to be full of glory and to be full of beauty. Why? Because he's before me. He's in my presence. And that's why even today we say, man, we don't have to wear these garments. We don't have to offer these sacrifices. But when we worship God, we want to do it in an arena that's beautiful and glorious, because that's who God is. But that's a whole other message. That's a side note. Make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And then verse 3, and it says, and thou shalt speak unto all who are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. There's our word, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And it's an interesting context, probably not the context you expected to hear about somebody that's filled with wisdom. But really, the word wisdom has a lot to do with skillfulness. And if you translated it, skillfulness in verse 3, it makes a whole lot more sense. He says, whom I have filled with the spirit of skillfulness so that they can make Aaron's garments. You know, you look at someone and you say, man, they're a talented musician, or God's given them a great ability in the area of music. Well, you could almost say, to use this word, they are wise in music. They are skillful in that. And obviously, we're not talking about being skilled in music or in craftsmanship or in fashioning garments or anything like that. It says wisdom is being skilled in living. And it's being able to take principles from the Bible and the specifics given in Proverbs, and to have an intimate knowledge of it all. Again, going back to know wisdom means to have this intimate knowledge so that we can apply passages of Scripture skillfully in our lives. Every single day, for every single decision, we're faced with decisions all the time. And like I've said a few times now, the Bible doesn't always give us the specifics. There are a lot of specifics in Proverbs, but believe it or not, it doesn't cover everything you're going to need for tomorrow. We're going to each encounter things, and we need skill in interpreting God's Word to those specific situations. And that's what it means to know wisdom. So, we've gotten three words down. Let's keep going. To know wisdom, and it has that idea again, of having an intimate knowledge of how to skillfully make the right choice at the right time in our lives. So second, not just does it say to know wisdom, but it also is wisdom and instruction. And really often, and really when I first started studying this, I thought I could deal with wisdom and instruction at the same time, because they're used almost interchangeably in the book of Proverbs. But it's important to note that the word instruction, sorry, I need to put that up on the screen. The second thing we're going to see is that this book of Proverbs, it will give us correction so that we can be wise. Because the word instruction there, other places, that same word is translated correction or chastening or discipline, or even referring to someone rebuking another person. And it's important for us to realize as we come to the book of Proverbs, it's not just going to be do this, do this, don't do that, do this, do this. It's going to be a lot of you need to change your thinking about this. And that's what the book of Proverbs is going to give us. It's going to correct us. We don't like to be corrected, but we need it. To know wisdom, to know instruction. And well, I was thinking about this word instruction, and I've referred back to this a few times, but we when we moved into our apartment, we had a lot of IKEA furniture to put together. And if you've ever put IKEA furniture together, you know it comes with a lot of instructions, how we would use the word instruction. Patrick's laughing back there, and I know why. And other men that helped with that. But there's a lot of instructions. And it tells you, you know, place this here, insert screw A into slot B, and put hammer, you know, whatever, the nail into here. And it gets really complicated. And that's typically what we think of when you think about instructions. But the idea of the word instruction here, it's more the wife that's standing there saying, honey, no, that's not how you do that. You know, don't do it that way, do it this way. And it's not just following a recipe. The idea of the word instruction is having to correct the recipe or having to correct the way that you're doing something. Maybe you're trying to follow a set list of instructions, but then someone comes along and says, hey, you didn't do that right. That's the idea of the word instruction here. Hey, you're not doing that right. Here's how to correct that. And so this book will not just help us have this intimate knowledge of how to live. This book will also correct us so that we can be wise. Because we need that correction. We need that instruction. And we were going to turn to Proverbs 6:23, but we won't belabor that point. All right, now we come to verse number 2 still, but the second line there. To perceive the words of understanding. Okay, so this book is given so that we can know wisdom, so that we can know instruction, so we can have that correction in our lives, and so that we can perceive the words of understanding. And really, I'm going to put up two different things here, because this verse could really be taken either way. When we talk about perceiving the words of understanding, that word perceive is really another word for understanding. You could almost say to understand the words of understanding, but that would be a little redundant. And so wisely, the translators used a different word there. But this has the idea of the word discretion, or to be discerning about things. And so to discern the words of understanding, you could take that one of two ways. You could either say, okay, it will help us determine between what are words of understanding and what are words of falsehood. You know, to discern between truth and error. Or you could also take that verse to mean, it'll help me understand what the Bible is saying, what the words of knowledge are. And really, either way is okay to take it because both are true. The Bible helps us distinguish between truth and error. And the Bible also, as we read more and more, we're illuminated through the Holy Spirit to be able to understand more and more of the Bible. So you could really say either way. That to perceive the words of understanding, it could either be to distinguish between truth and error, to discern what is right and what is wrong, to discern what the actual words of understanding are. Maybe you're talking to someone and they say, hey, I think this passage in the Bible says this. And in the back of your mind, you're going, does it actually mean that? And so this verse could be saying, this book, the book of Proverbs, is going to help you discern what between truth and between error. Or you could also take it to mean that the book of Proverbs is going to help you understand what wise people are saying. I don't know if you've ever read a book by like a philosopher or somebody that was just clearly on a different academic level than you. I remember we had to take themes in Western thought in school, and we had to read like Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and all these great philosophers, and I would come out of there, my mind would just be like, I don't know what we're talking about, but wow, that was deep stuff. And sometimes you come to the Bible and it's the same there. You're like, man, I have no idea what that passage is saying. Well, according to this verse, as we get more and more into the book of Proverbs, as we let this wisdom just come into our lives, we're going to have more and more ability to be able to discern what is exactly the words that are there of the wise people, whether in the Bible or even in our lives. And you look down to verse 6, we'll kill two birds with one stone here. And this is exactly what verse 6 says. So this book is written so that you can understand a proverb and the interpretation. It's exactly what we were just talking about. What is it that this proverb is saying and what does it mean? We're going to be able to understand that. You'll be able to understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And dark sayings there, that's not in the how we typically use the word dark, like droopy or gloomy or scary. It's not talking about that. It's saying that there's sayings that are confusing or muddling. The things that are hard to understand. As we get into the book of Proverbs, it's going to help us understand those things. And again, that's all under the category of wisdom. So, what is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? We've seen so far that Proverbs helps us have this intimate knowledge of how to skillfully live in this life. Secondly, we saw that the book of Proverbs, it'll give us correction when we need it, so that we can be wise. Thirdly, we saw to perceive words of understanding. It could either mean to determine what is truly wise, what is truly insightful, but it could also mean to help us actually just understand what people are saying, whether it's in the Bible or even in the world around us. But then you come to verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. And we've already dealt with those words, correction of wisdom, you could say. But then we're also going to understand justice and judgment and equity. And so when you come to the book of Proverbs, it's really going to help us to know what is truly right, what is truly just. Because then we have these questions all the time. Lord, I need to know what is right for me to do in this situation. And there's not a single person in this room that has never had a thought like that or had a prayer like that. God, I need to know what is right. I need to know that path that I should take. And it's interesting, the word equity there literally could be interpreted level path. And you want to know, God, I need your help. I need to know what a level path is for me to walk on. Lord, I don't want to turn to the right. I don't want to turn to the left. I want to have that straight path with you. Well, this book is promising. If we pay attention in the book of Proverbs, God is going to help us have the wisdom to make that right decision, to keep on that level path, to keep on that straight path. And maybe your mind automatically goes to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You can even say he will make straight paths for your feet there in that verse. So as we come to the book of Proverbs, if we give it our attention and if we work through it, God will help us to know what is the right thing to do, what is truly just. Number 5. In verse number 4 here, that's hard to say. We're on point number 5 in verse number 4. But look down at verse number 4 and we'll see our point. It says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And what you'll find as we go through the book of Proverbs, there are these different people we encounter. You have the wise person, you have the foolish person, and then you're also going to see passages about the simple person. And there are other people in there as well, like a scoffer and everything like that. But the idea of the word simple is just somebody who is naive. Or someone that just is lacking common sense. Maybe you could, in our minds, in our day and age today, in the church world, you could say this person is a new Christian. They haven't taken time to carefully think through. They're not as far along spiritually as some of the rest of us. And God says here, that's okay. That person who is naive, that person who lacks understanding, they can come to the book of Proverbs and they can be given. And the word subtlety there is actually the word for cleverness. It's kind of an oxymoron here. It's saying that this book will make the stupid people clever, you could say. And again, it's kind of putting them against themselves there. But that word subtlety is used other places. You remember when in the book of Joshua, these people came to Joshua and they were really from like a neighboring town that Joshua was supposed to conquer. But they put all these old clothes on. They took these old skins of wine and they made themselves look like they'd gone on a long journey. Well, the word subtlety here is actually used in that context where these men were clever and crafty in doing that to trick Joshua. And again, this goes back to having that skill to apply things in our lives. You're going to be clever at doing this. Even the most naive person can get this cleverness. They can get this skill to be able to do this in their lives. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Even children, adolescents, people as teenagers. You know, we have some children here in the church, all the way from Rachel to Tessa to Mary, and Aurora's not in here tonight, and that's okay. But the Bible and the book of Proverbs, it helps even young children and young people to grow in knowledge and in discretion. Not indiscretion, but to grow in discretion. They need to come from indiscretion to have discretion. And the book of Proverbs will do that. It doesn't distinguish between persons. It doesn't say, okay, only the wise people come and listen. No, it says, I also want all the people that need this. You should definitely be coming. You need to hear what we have. So if you feel like you're lacking in wisdom, then come on Sunday nights. We'll work through the book of Proverbs. And we'll say, okay, Lord, what do you have for us? And frankly, all of Scripture is profitable to do that. We know that. So don't just come on Sunday nights. But please do come to all the services, because we need God's Word. But this book of Proverbs specifically is saying, here is a main purpose. I want all of us to grow in wisdom as a church, and the book of Proverbs will help us do that. All right, so it helps even the most naive to gain knowledge and discretion and to grow in that way. I mean, Joshua 9, chapter 3 is where that was. But then you come to verse 5, and even the wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know what? I've been saved for a very, very long time. I wonder if maybe I've kind of moved beyond the book of Proverbs. You know, I've read it so many times already. Man, I did that proverb a day. I did that for a whole year, and I read through the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year. And that's great if you have, by the way. That's a wonderful way to spend an evening, if you want, just taking a proverb and reading it in the evening, and you get through the whole book of Proverbs. But maybe you're saying, man, I've done this so many times. What more does the book of Proverbs have to offer me? Well, this verse says a wise man is going to hear, and he's going to still increase in learning. And it'll help even the wisest continue to grow. And no one has attained so far in wisdom that they don't need to be hearing this stuff and to be refreshing their minds with this stuff. We need God's Word again and again and again. I don't care if you've heard Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 preached on a million other times. We needed to hear that this morning. We need to be reminded and refreshed. There's always something more for us to learn. And so even the wise will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So we've worked through all of these purpose statements, and we had 6 points from them. To know wisdom and instruction, to have that intimate knowledge of skill to live wisely in this life, to know instruction, to have that correction in our lives that says, no, Nathan, you've gone off the path here. You need to get back on the path. The Bible says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And I can guarantee, and I didn't have the time to look that up, but I can guarantee that that word chasten, in the book of Hebrews, if you look at the Greek translation of the Old Testament, I guarantee that's the same word here for instruction, because that's the same context that it's used in. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. To receive the instruction of wisdom, to justice and judgment and equity, to have that knowledge of what is just and right. And I skipped the one earlier, and that's okay. But and then it goes on to talk about even the naive will learn here. And we go on and so on. But I also wanted to talk tonight just about, okay, this is what the purpose of the book of Proverbs is, but how is this going to be accomplished in our lives? You know, do I just come and sit back passively? Do I just read through the book of Proverbs in one sitting and, man, I'm going to be the wisest person alive and have all of Solomon's wisdom in me? And I think the key to that is in verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Okay, how does he increase in learning? He listens. And not just a listening where it goes in one ear and out the other. I used to know a joke about pastors. My grandpa loved telling pastors jokes. I guess as a pastor, maybe I need to start loving pastors jokes too. But these men were out hunting. One of them was a pastor. I forget who the other people were. But to get to the punchline. Thank you. To get to the punchline of the joke, the deer was shot, they had all fired at the same time. Well, the shot went in one ear and out the other, and so they all knew the pastor was the one that had shot it, because that's what happens with pastors. But don't let that happen in the book of Proverbs. You're not going to grow in wisdom if that's what happens. That joke wasn't that funny. Don't laugh that hard. So what's our responsibility with the book of Proverbs? Our responsibility is to listen. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. A wise man will hear. Pastor, I don't know what that says about your jokes, if they're laughing that hard at that joke, but I won't. I shouldn't go there. Yes, maybe they are just very kind. Yes, but we need to be listening. We need to be paying attention to the words that are here. And I wanted to point out that the Bible is clear that we should be asking God for wisdom. That there is a part where the Bible, and flip over to James chapter 1. We're about to end here, but I want to show you this, because it's really important for us to realize these two aspects of it here. In James chapter 1, and you look at verse 5, James chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, and that's not saying that some people don't lack wisdom. We all do. We all lack wisdom. He could say, all of you lack wisdom. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And I hope you're all the time praying and asking the Lord for wisdom. Oftentimes we say, Lord, please give me wisdom. And it's almost a passing phrase in our prayer sometimes. Or, Lord, be with them, give them wisdom. Give the doctors wisdom. How many times do we pray that? But take it seriously. God says, I want you to ask me for wisdom. And it says, God will give liberally. And so there's a part where this is God's duty to us. God will give us wisdom. But I think sometimes we focus so much on asking God for wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. That we don't take the time to do what the book of Proverbs is saying. Lord, let me hear your wisdom. I wonder how many times people are saying, man, I just need the Lord's will, the Lord's direction for this in my life. And if they would just open up the Bible and look at it, God has given it to them already. I've heard people talk about how in high school so many people are like, man, I just want to know the Lord's will for my life, the Lord's will for my life. And just pointing them to say, well, do what the Lord's will for your life is right now. And God will direct your steps. And so it's not just asking God for wisdom, as we see in James 1 verse 5, but we should be growing in wisdom and gaining wisdom from the Bible. And we won't turn there. But 2 Peter 3:18, a familiar passage, it says, but grow in the grace. That's a command. You need to be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're commanded to grow in knowledge. It's not just something we say, God, this is your job. Lord, I'm going to pray for wisdom and you're supposed to give it to me. Well, we forget that often God's means to give us wisdom is right here in front of us if we just open it up and read it. Grow in the grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, put off the old man. And then a command, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's saying practically the same thing. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? How am I going to get this wisdom? How am I going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. The Bible almost puts more of an emphasis there than saying, go to God, ask Him in prayer. It says, look, you have so much wisdom in front of you. Yes, pray to God. Yes, ask Him. He will give it to you. It's a promise. But don't neglect the study of His Word. That's how we gain wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to be instructed in how to live righteously? The Scripture says, look, we have everything you need. The Scripture says, I have it for you. All Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means everything. We are thoroughly furnished through the Bible. That's what the book of Proverbs is claiming here as well. Saying you want to know wisdom. You want to have this intimate knowledge that allows you to live skillfully in this life. Then pay attention to this book. Then we read the rest of the Bible and it says, don't just pay attention to the book of Proverbs. Pay attention to all of the Bibles. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so do you want wisdom in your life? You say, man, I just need to know what to do tomorrow. I need to know what to do in this next step. You want to be a skillful Christian, making the best use of your life right now? You would say, man, God, I really do want to serve you. I really do want to do what's right. Lord, I want to be skillful in my life, using my life for your glory. Do you want discernment and direction for when you don't know which path to take? You're like, Lord, I just need to know what that level path is that you want me to walk on. Do you ever feel like a naive or like a baby Christian where you read a passage and you're like, man, I wish I understood what that was saying. Well, the book of Proverbs will say, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So go ask other people, but maybe in your mind you're going, man, I just wish I could do that on my own. Maybe there have been times where you've come to pastor and asked him a question, and it's a difficult situation, but he's kind of worked you through it, and he's kind of shown you different passages that might apply, and you're like, wow, that was wise of him. I wish I could do that. There's never going to be a time that I can do that. Well, the book of Proverbs says, if you pay attention, if you listen to this book, again, if you listen to all of the Bible, but particularly the book of Proverbs, you're going to be able to do that too. You're going to have this discretion. You're going to have this direction for your life. Are you an older, more experienced Christian where maybe you think, man, I think I understand most all of the Bible, which first of all is not true. There's so much that we all can grow. And just ask Pastor. He's been pastoring for over 35 years, and there's still many passages, I'm sure, that he could say, I need help with that passage. That's why we have commentators. That's why we use people, and then we gain wisdom from other places as well. But even those of us that have been Christians for a long time, and I've only been a Christian, I've been a Christian for 17 years, which is a long time compared to some people, but others of you in this room, it's been far longer than that. Well, just like I constantly need the book of Proverbs and other books in my life, so do you. A wise man will hear and will continue to increase in their learning, and they'll be able to understand better and better and better. And so the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to help every single person, every single one of us in this room, to grow more and more skillful in our life for Jesus Christ, in our life for God. And we're going to talk next week about the fear of the Lord and how that's the foundation for wisdom. That's so important for us to grasp. But tonight, I hope we're encouraged to say, okay, I need this book in my life. We do need this book in our lives. It's not just one of those things that's good for a quick read through or just a chapter a day keeps the devil away or anything like that. No, this is a book that says, when you read me, when you search me out, when you study, then you're going to be growing in this wisdom and growing in this knowledge. And to be completely honest, I still have a whole lot of study to do in preparation for future messages. So I'm taking the book of Proverbs words here on faith, just like you are. Because that's what it says. It says, this book of Proverbs will do this for you. And I'm sure as we work through it together, that God will show that what He is saying is true. That this book will do that for us. But in all of this, be ready and be willing for correction. That word instruction is used so many times in the book of Proverbs. And that's what we need. We need God to say, no, Nathan, you're not thinking correctly in that area. No, you don't have that quite right. There's so many things that we don't have quite right. Probably the vast majority of what we think is not quite right, by the way. I don't know if there's a single thought that we have that is exactly God's thought about something. He's so far higher than us. We constantly need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, we're told. But be ready for that. And be humble and say, Lord, I'm okay if you come and, you know, knock down that wall that's in front of me and my whole world comes crashing down. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. Well, that's what's going to happen. We have that correction in store for us as we work through the book of Proverbs. So let's be humble. And let's come to the Lord and say, God, help us as we go through this book. Help us to have that skillful wisdom that we can apply to really every situation of our life. And we'll have that as we work through the book of Proverbs. Let's pray before we are dismissed tonight. Father, thank you for a book that promises and tells us that it was written for the very purpose of helping us know how to live our daily lives. God, we face so many different decisions. Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your wisdom for tomorrow. And Lord, you told us to ask. You told us that you liberally give it. And yet, Lord, so often that is through the words of your mouth that we have right in front of us. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to study your word, and that we would gain the wisdom from that. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through the book of Proverbs, that we would gain wisdom that we need for today. Pray that you would give us the grace and strength to do that. Before we finish tonight, you're welcome to come kneel at the front. This wasn't as much of a exhortational message where you need to get something right with God. But let's just take some time and ask the Lord through this whole series in the book of Proverbs, maybe through your scripture reading tonight or tomorrow morning, your devotional reading, that God would give us wisdom. Mrs. Byford, you can still play, but the rest of us, let's take the time just to ask God to illuminate our minds through Scripture. If you want to come to the front, you're welcome to, but let's at least take some time in our seats right now to ask the Lord to do that.